Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 124, and today's date is August 15th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And always, I'm joined by Kent. Russ, on the other hand, he's out for the next few weeks due to the birth of his son last Friday, a son who, surprisingly enough, is not named Seth or Rollins. But in all seriousness, congratulations to Russ and his wife Heather on the birth of their child. But don't worry, listeners, because Steve is here this week to help out Kent and I as we dig through this week in wrestling. So how you guys doing?
I have it on good authority that Russ has mixed together an audio track that replaces the whole burn it down and just screams, "Rub me down!" And he plays it on constant loop. It's really fucking creepy, but I have it on good authority that this is a real thing. So, yeah. How you doing, Steve?
I am glad to be back, I guess. Fill my time up with something else other than, you know, TV.
Yay!
It's almost a step up, I guess, being here.
Well, it's good you're back, Steve. I haven't talked to you in so long.
I know. It's like a lateral move, though, from the rest of me. It's not really a step up or down. It's just...
Yeah, but you don't have an infatuation with Rollins. Who do you have an infatuation with, Steve?
Since ECW ended, like, no one. Like, used to be Van Damme. Maybe Steve Trino, but now it's like no one.
You know, I haven't really felt that way about a wrestler since Test. Old horse face.
All right, listeners. So, for those of you who aren't too sure what our show's about, we talk all things wrestling. And this week we're going to preview the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 show and SummerSlam. And we also have our normal weekly segments for you. But before we get to any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss this week?
So this week's moment of bliss, I just finished re-binge watching Wentworth. As I alluded to last week, I was working on that. And I'm pretty excited now. Like, I'm in the mental right state of mind for early September when it's coming to Netflix. So I feel good. Like, I forgot how many cool things occurred in that show as it progressed further and further, more and more fucked up things happened. Like, for instance, a person tied into a dentist chair and getting her tongue cut out. Cool shit like that. So, yeah, it's a pretty hardcore gangstalicious show. And, I can't wait for season 6. Apparently, there's going to be a prison fight club involved. To me, that sounds wonderful. I'm all for fight clubs. I don't know people. You know, go out and support your local fight club. You know, offer charitable donations, oatmeal, cookies, Slim Jims, all that sort of thing. And, gosh, that's really it. I am having a short moment of bliss this week.
Yes, and it sounds very violent.
I am in the mood for some violence. I mean, we just got talking about ECW, and I don't know. Now I kind of want to go and watch some decent wrestling. Not going to get to, but I mean, I want to.
Well, how about
you can always just watch ECW on the network.
With all the great original entrance music, Steve?
Yes, exactly.
Well,
does anybody have their original? Like, nobody has their music, right? Like, it's all generic. Oh, that makes me sad.
Well, speaking of things that are gonna make you even more sad, maybe not, because we are gonna preview NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 first. So let's get into that. First match on the card is Velveteen Dream versus EC3. I'll be honest, guys, I'm still not getting the appeal of EC3. I'm sure if I watched more NXT, maybe I would, but I'm going with Velveteen Dream here only because I love Velveteen Dream. Steve, what do you think?
What I want to happen is Velveteen Dream to win for once a feud. But we will. What will happen is because EC3 is on steroids and has made his name elsewhere, and the internet loves him, he will win once again over homegrown talent in NXT.
And Ken.
Wow, that put a lot of damper on everything I wanted to say. EC3 really was good in TNA. He really was. Whatever the fuck they're doing with him in NXT is not so good.
Now, I hear another wrestler was good in TNA also, and he isn't doing too well either.
Tell me more, Steve.
I believe he's currently a dickhead in Raw.
Fantastic. Yeah, good. This match, actually, I think could be match of the night. It really could if they give it time. Let's face it, we know the main event's going to get all the time, and it's going to get all the fan adoration. But they've really... I don't know, this is a fresh matchup, and I'm always happy with a fresh matchup over a match that WWE has overkilled this year. Really, really, really fast they've overkilled some stuff, so this is a fresh matchup. Are both guys heels, or did somebody turn face? Anybody know?
They're kind of tweeners, I think. I mean... EC3 isn't anything too heelish. Velveteen Dream's walked out on him in a tag matches, but fans like both of them, so...
Yeah, the fans are idiots and also like fucking Adam Cole and his fucking crew, so what the fuck do the fans know? They're idiots.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of Undisputed Era, let's talk about the NXT Tag Team Championship match next. We have the Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain. I only have two words to describe my selection on this match. Trent 7, Mustache Mountain wins. Kent?
Yeah, every time I think of Trent 7, I just want to hear Brad Pitt screaming, "What's in the box?" Like, that should just be his theme song. Just some kind of creepy music and Brad Pitt overreacting. That'd be fantastic. That would probably... catapult Trent right into like my top five wrestlers. I already like the guy quite a bit, but give him something like that, give him that gimmick, I'd be sold. I can't stand Undisputed Era, so for the love of God, when did they win the championships back? They did win it back
the next
right?
week. They won it back, I think.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know that until a day or two ago, so very much out of the loop. Going with the mustaches, the things that I cannot grow.
And Steve.
Tyler Bate is amazing, but I don't see them beating Undisputed Era. They're probably setting up another independent wrestling team, the Roar Raiders, which is an awful name, to take the belts from Undisputed Era at some point.
I refuse to call them War Raiders. Refuse. It's War Machine. Dang it. War Machine.
They probably don't want to get sued, though, by Disney, I'm guessing.
because, you fair know, enough.
Yeah.
Still, they're War Machine to me. They always will be. All right, let's talk NXT Women's Championship match. We got Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. Please, for the love of God, somebody take the title off of Shayna. That's all I have to say. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I would love to see Shayna Baszler lose, but I don't see it happening. I don't know who will take it from her, but it's not going to happen tonight. Unless Bianca Belair or someone gets involved. That's her name, right? Bianca Belair?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's going to be like one of the top women in the division for a long time. But she's not on the card either, is she? At all. That's a shame.
What are your thoughts, Kent?
You know, normally I would agree with your sentiment, Kairi, and anybody but Shayna, except when it is the fucking worst goddamn fucking gimmick in all of fucking professional wrestling, a goddamn pirate prince. I want Shayna to rip her fucking arm the fuck off so she can stop doing the little captain salute. Stop it. Just stop it. You're a grown fucking adult here. Jesus Christ, go fucking home and dress in your fucking Pikachu onesie or some shit. fucking just flat out disgusted with the world of wrestling some days. And she is one of the worst things. I mean, it's almost as if she's like from North Carolina or something. Awful. So, yeah, I'm regrettably picking Shayna. And that alone, that's like me cheering on Seth Rollins. Like, it's making my skin crawl just a little bit saying it.
I'm shocked to hear you say that, but I do understand your logic. And with that said, let's move on to the NXT North American Championship match. We have Adam Cole versus Ricochet. And I think I'm going to shock Kent here, but I am not picking Adam Cole. I'm picking Ricochet. What do you think, Kent?
I feel like the Shockmaster just stumbled through my wall. Wow. Yeah. It's time. It's time for, you know, the Undisputed Era to go back to Ring of Honor, Japan, Mexico, Thailand. I don't... Uruguay? I don't know. Someplace. Just off my TV screen. As a matter of fact, that's how I feel. Like, God damn it. Isn't that what... Like, NXT Brooklyn, we went from one of the most amazing cards, and 3 short years later, here we are, talking about Adam Cole and his awfulness. So, please, Ricochet, win.
What are your thoughts, Steve?
I know they like to keep Adam Cole around and, you know, make the fans happy, but I think Ricochet is actually, he should win it. And then they can start picking up Undisputed Era, have Adam Cole become a face like they want him to be, and then they can have whatever feud with those guys for a bit. I don't really care.
All right, let's move on to the final match of the card. We have the NXT Championship, Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. Is this number 3 for these two gentlemen? Okay, I just want to make sure I got the right number. And this will be a last man standing match. I'm seeing Ciampa retaining, but that's just me. What do you think, Steve?
It's a shame Aleister Black had his, what, testicles? Something or other, some kind of surgery for that? I don't know. I wish he was in it because I don't really like Gargano. Actually, I like Ciampa. Ciampa's better than Gargano. But they will probably have Gargano win it and send Ciampa up to Raw or SmackDown.
How about you, Kent?
That's the inherent problem with these two being the main event. Neither of these guys are ever going to do anything on the main roster. This is it. This is the pinnacle of their feud, and then it's done with, and then somebody may or may not get moved to the main roster, and it's going to mean absolutely nothing. Ciampa's better overall in character. I think he's better in-ring. I know a lot of people prefer Gargano in-ring. I've long said that I preferred Ciampa style. This feels like Gargano getting the big win and probably, like, next week losing it, you know. Didn't, like, Sami Zayn have a similar story? He didn't hold the belt for very long. I don't know if it was Owens.
Yeah, he won it and then Owens powerbombed him.
Yeah. Away. So, I don't know. This just kind of feels like a similar thing where Gargano's going to finally have his moment, and then within a month he's going to lose it and whatever. I know this is going to be a great match, but I wish they would have not had this matchup so soon. They've killed this feud. They've took a really good feud and they've overkilled it. They've WWE'd it, which is sad because NXT hadn't been so guilty of WWE and things in the past, but right now, that's... Yeah, I know, they planned on having Aleister. Was Aleister planned to go in as champion all along, or was... Like, was he injured before the
no,
match?
No, they just wanted to have a three-way. With Gargano costing Aleister the championship, that way he can get in it, and that way you have Aleister fighting, you know, reason to fight both of them at once.
I like Aleister. I wish he comes back very soon and just gets away from NXT.
205 Live?
If Ciampa and Gargano go to 205, will anybody care? Like, internet fans will claim that they will care, but will they care? Will anybody still watch 205? I really don't think so. And that's kind of a sad state of things. Like, we don't ever... When was the last time we saw 205 on Raw? Like, I know they've just basically kind of done away with that whole idea. It's months, right?
Wasn't Enzo... Enzo Amore still with the company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The real one.
They were main eventing Raw, weren't they, when he was there?
Yeah, that's how great Enzo Amore is. I don't care what anybody says. Enzo Amore may very well be the greatest cruiserweight of all time. Yeah, better than Mysterio. Not as good as Malenko. I love Malenko.
Or Guerrero.
Yeah.
Both Guerreros.
I don't know if Pillman counts, but I'm also going to put Pillman in that conversation.
Jericho?
Shofnacki.
La Parca?
La Parca, actually. I love La Parca. I don't care.
Everyone loved La Parca.
He had such a great, stupid gimmick, but it worked on every level. NXT. I was pondering this. I remember when it first happened. The, now famous Sasha versus Bayley Brooklyn 1 match. As time has gone by, is that the greatest women's match that we've seen in WWE at the very least, if not anywhere? I initially thought it was like Trish and Mickey possibly. Like I made that argument that it was possible, but I think as that match has aged, Sasha versus Bayley may very well have been the pinnacle of women's wrestling. Carrie?
I'm gonna have to agree with you with Sasha and Bayley only for one reason, or one reason only. The storytelling in that match was incredible. I've never seen that in a women's match before. How about you, Steve?
Yeah, Sasha was a great heel in that one. That was one where she made what's her face cry, right? At ringside. That was awesome. That was the best heel move since Steve actually kicked the ball from that kid.
That is such a great video. That really is.
Speaking of Izzy, I actually stumbled across her Instagram page. Apparently, she's a heel manager for some small promotion down in Florida. Apparently, she wants to be the next Paul Heyman.
Wow.
Does she have a giant phone with her?
Oh, this is that dangerous phone.
Does she have a dangerous alliance?
No, but she does rip up signs. So I guess for a person her age, that's a step in the right direction.
For her.
Yeah.
I guess.
So, guys, any final comments on the TakeOver card? Out of both of the shows, I have to say I'm looking forward to this one the most. What about you, Ken?
I'm not even looking forward to it, but we all know no matter how much SummerSlam gets hyped, and this is where Russ would jump in and tell us how great SummerSlam's going to be, it's fool's gold. They should just call it Fool's Gold. Not even SummerSlam. NXT will end up being the better show. It just will be. It can't help itself. It's going to have to be.
Well, yeah, it has to be because it's shorter and it's less matches, which means the matches get more time, tell better stories, and it's just guaranteed to be better.
I just wish Scott Steiner was in the front row of NXT this time around, just so we get Scott Steiner back. Scott Steiner, Hall of Fame, 2019. Make it happen, WWE. Give him a live mic.
Could they put the Hall of Fame in one of his restaurants?
That would be fabulous.
And would we get a math lesson?
There is not a wrestling video on YouTube that I've watched more. There really isn't. I can say that very assuredly. And there's some match. There's some wrestling things like the Sting versus Jeff Hardy at Glory Road or Victory Road. I think it was
Bound for Glory Road. I don't know.
I think it was Victory Road. Yeah, this is the Glory Hole, and I've watched that.
It may as well have been a Glory Hole from what we saw.
You know, oddly enough, I think the two most watched videos on YouTube for me for wrestling are TNA. It's kind of weird. Steiner doing math is... Once again, if you've never seen it, people, look up Scott Steiner, math. You will be so happy. So, so happy.
And confused. But that's okay. That's the whole charm of that video.
It really is.
Alright, guys. I think we should move on from NXT TakeOver and jump right into SummerSlam?
Yeah. I mean, shit. We did that in 20 minutes. We are just motoring through. But I know we have so many great matchups to talk about at SummerSlam. I can hardly wait. But
are you sure we want to jump right into it?
Well, I mean, it's not Seth Rollins' mouth, and without Russ here, nah, we'll hold off just a little bit. Carrie, tell us what's going on in your world, your little corner of the universe.
Well, to start, things are a lot quieter in my corner. So much quieter. I no longer have things, you know, I've had time to clean, I've had time to straighten. It looks a lot better in my corner. Yes, listeners, the G1 is over. More on that in a second. And we have a few weeks before All In. So, as I said, my corner is really quiet. So to start, here's my final G1 update. Block A winner, Hiroshi Tanahashi. Block B winner, Kota Ibushi. Winner of the G1 is Hiroshi Tanahashi, who will get a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom 13 against IWGP champion Kenny Omega. Before that happens, Tanahashi will have two briefcase defenses against Jay White and Kazuchika Okada, since he lost to White in their match during Block A and last week's A Block final between Tanahashi and Okada ended in a draw. An IWGP title defense came out also out of this past weekend's G1 final. Kenny Omega will defend his title against Tomohiro Ishii, probably at the Long Beach show, Fighting Spirit Unleashed, next month, I believe. And also it looks like Juice Robinson and Cody will be feuding over the United States Championship at that show as well. And my second story in my corner is that last Friday, Ring of Honor in New Japan sold out Madison Square Garden for their WrestleMania weekend G1 Supercard show. Yours truly was unfortunately unable to get tickets for the show, and that fact still kind of stings so much that I purchased seats today to SmackDown 1000. And that's my corner, guys.
Is Jay White the most generic name possible for a wrestler?
Well, he's technically the Switchblade Jay White. And basically his gimmick is that he is completely swarmy and likes to cheat. He's that type of heel. And he's trying to take over Chaos from Okada. I see those two feuding down the road.
Is it really that big of a thing to do a show like WrestleMania weekend? Like, I've always kind of gotten mad at indie promotions. They're like, hey, we have a show on WrestleMania weekend. Oh, so you're just hopping on a bandwagon. You did nothing. You built up no empire. And now you're saying, oh, we sold out something. You didn't sell out shit. Fucking, you know, say, hey, we sold out because WWE is in town. Like, that's the reality of it. I always get mad because, I mean, this shit's been going on for over a decade. I mean, this is a quote-unquote big deal because MSG, but it's kind of like they celebrate themselves and it's like, you didn't do anything. You basically went, you spied on your rival organization, found out where they're doing business, you're like, well, not everybody can afford WrestleMania tickets, but they can afford tickets to our show. I'm really shocked TNA never did this. Like, that's the most TNA move that TNA could have done, and I don't think they've ever done it yet. I don't know. I'm a little let down by TNA right now. TNA, you're better than this. Come on. Be a little bit more indie. Come on. You know you want to.
How many of those tickets that sold out are scalpers?
I would say a good portion of them. I mean, they're also doing the same thing with SmackDown 1000, because I had issues getting tickets this morning, and I had a pre-sale code.
Yeah, those pre-sale codes are not always, like, getting tickets is hard sometimes. It just is a difficult ordeal.
Like TNA and Glens Falls, those are impossible to get.
Jeff Hardy smoking outside the building.
Still don't regret not saying hi to him, do you?
No. Seriously, no. Had the opportunity, regret nothing. Good for Aunt Randy Orton. Randy Orton would have done the same fucking thing. And I feel good knowing that I did something that Randy Orton would have done. That's always a good life decision.
So, guys, I think it's time to talk SummerSlam, because we have a lot of matches to cover. I think 12 or 13, I lost count at 10. This is going to be a long, long event.
It's 12 matches and like a 6-hour show. Great.
This is going to be painful. And so is this preview, so let's get started. All right, we have our two pre-show matches. First matchup, we have Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega versus Rusev and Lana. I'm picking Almas and Vega. Who do you got, Kent?
I'll second that. The best part about this match was that Rusev went on Twitter and made fun of being on the same kickoff show as the 205 Cruiserweight title. Yeah, he really values the fact that he went from the last pay-per-view as the main event to kickoff show in a mixed tag match. The worst match there is. Woe is Rusev Day. I'm really surprised they didn't make Aiden the referee or ring enforcer, some garbage. Like, how is Aiden not involved in, like, WWE? You're not WWEing this match enough. Really, somebody's fucking up because Aiden should be the referee and cost something and blah, 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 turn heel, who knows.
Maybe they'll just have Aiden come out and create some kind of havoc like he has been.
Yeah, I will say this. It's nice that Andrade is actually going to make it onto a pay-per-view card at the very least. The man deserves that much at the very least.
Agreed. What do you think, Steve?
Rusev and Almas should be on the main card. I think, well, we won't see most of the match because there will be probably two ads for SummerSlam during it. And then a cutaway to the announce booth for some reason. So what we'll see of it will be good. I think CN needs a win more than Rusev. Rusev's pretty much just there, and he's over anyways, so they'll give it to Almas.
I love the kickoff show, where we have previews and advertisements for the show that you're currently paying to watch. That's good marketing right there. Really, really good.
Well, you can also watch the pre-show on other sources like YouTube and their Facebook page and stuff like that.
Shouldn't it be a benefit as a paying customer to not have to sit through that shit? Like, shouldn't there be two feeds, one that actually sticks with the match for paying customers, and then for, you know, the people that are doing it for free have to sit through the commercial? Like, wouldn't that just be nice? Like, it wouldn't cost hardly anything. Michael Cole's just going to talk for a few minutes more. Like, whatever. Do it. Come on, WWE, do it.
Yes, we want less ads. We want more wrestling and less ads.
Unless they're funny, or for Elias or something.
Yes, Elias's album, Elias's documentary, or mockumentary, actually.
His performance, was it Friday or Saturday?
Is that on the network? Is that going to be broadcast live or no?
Not to my knowledge. Was it the Gramercy Theater? I mean,
I think so, yeah.
If there was a reason for me to actually make that long voyage to New York City, that would really be the reason I would go there, is for that concert.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that too, but I'm sure there'll be a video online of it. I mean, there was WrestleMania weekend.
I just hope he calls, like, Kevin Owens up on stage or something. That'd be nice.
Or whoever that was in Raw. make him his protege.
Oh, yeah, his like, super fan.
Worst name possible. I can't even remember it, but it was generic.
Randy Rogers or something like that.
Yeah, good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, let's talk the Cruiserweight Championship match. We got Cedric Alexander versus Drew Gulak. I don't care. I feel bad saying this, but I just don't care. I guess give the belt to Drew. He seems like he's been in line for that for a while. I think it's his time. What do you think, Steve?
Give the belt to Drew if he can do a PowerPoint presentation if he wins. And then let Cedric put the weight back on and put him on the main roster. Because he deserves to be in the main roster.
And Ken.
I think Cedric and Apollo would make for a really dynamic tag team, actually. I know, put two black guys together. No, we're not remaking Crime Time, people.
Street Profits.
Street Profits, yeah.
I don't get them at all, but you know, that's not the topic.
Yeah, I don't understand their appeal, and I really want to, and then I kept watching their videos, and I was like, no.
They're just entertaining. I saw them when they did the NXT live show here in D.C. They're entertaining.
Isn't one of them Angelo Dawkins?
Yes.
Yes.
That's all you need to know.
And the other one's going to end up being the Nikki Bella of the relationship he's in.
Oh, wow. Just cut right to the bone there, Steve. Jesus. You know what's good about this match? Mustafa Ali's not in it. There's a guy that they could just... God, why didn't I fire him when we did the podcast last month about people to fire? Mustafa Ali should have been my number one pick. Can't stand that guy. Well, I know that Drew has Gallagher and the Brian Kendrick as, like, henchmen. Cedric doesn't, so... I gotta go with Drew for that reason alone. Like, why not? Right? Also, can we get the Brian Kendrick on Raw? Like, seriously, I want to see him as, like, Elias's lackey. Would anybody be opposed to this? Okay, there nope. We go. And they listen to the podcast. We know this for fact. Seriously, how weird was it that last Friday, the day that Russ had the birth of his child, WWE posts 40 pictures of superstars with their children? I'm like, Jesus, guys, could you make it less obvious next time? I mean, I know you already had Steal the Moment of Bliss idea for the t-shirt and shit, but yeah, there are times where they are just out and out, just like, eh, we give up. We're not even trying to hide it anymore.
So, I have a question. Maybe you guys can answer it. I don't know. You probably haven't watched 205 at all, but wasn't Buddy Murphy doing well in 205, or what happened there?
Some people on the internet say Buddy Murphy and Mustafa Ali in the False Count Anywhere match, like a month or two ago, was like the greatest match this year. I haven't seen it yet, and I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, that's what I heard. So I'm like, why is he not anywhere near the title?
I know they had a thing going where he had problem making weight sometimes, so maybe he didn't make weight again? I don't know.
In the world of professional wrestling, that's where we're going to be a stickler, overweight. We're trying to legitimize one fucking thing, so let's fucking pick weight. God damn it. I have so many negative things to say that I would have to censor myself later over, so just disgruntled.
Hey, it's called 205 Live, not 205-ish Live.
Yeah, and why isn't Finn Balor over there, you know, winning the championship? I mean, at least he could hold a championship, right? Like, that'd be kind of nice. Actually, that's a funny thing. Like, even if he moved to 205, he still wouldn't get the belt somehow. You know how sad that
maybe,
is, right?
Maybe he would get it and get injured again. You never know.
Well, as long as he wasn't going against Mr. Burn It Down, I mean, maybe he wouldn't have to take fucking Buckle Bomb. Which, I don't understand why we're still doing this move in 2018. Seriously, why is this move still allowed?
Why are there, like, 8 million suicide dives per match?
He goes by the name of TJ Perkins now, Steve. TJP.
Is he still around?
Every week on this podcast, he gets mentioned, Steve, in Russ's segment, Is It Mild? So
he did mean something, right?
He meant something to one of us, at least.
I'm sure Eric still likes them, too.
Of course.
But you mentioned Finn Balor, so let's go ahead and jump into the main card for SummerSlam. We have Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. I have enjoyed this feud. I'm ready for it to be over, but I've enjoyed it. I'd like to see Finn pick up the win and shut up your boy, Kent. Kent, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Baron got that clean win so he could jab to Roman. That was WWE its fucking finest. I like this feud because it actually feels right. Like, there's a guy who's being a bully and he's not the face. And it's so weird in 2018 to see it, but it works on its own minor level. I think Finn should just come out in the demon makeup. It would make no sense. There's no real rhyme or reason, but I kind of miss the demon makeup. And since we got robbed of the Sister Abigail match, which I will be mad about till my dying day, let's make up for it. Let's give Constable Corbin the first. Did Finn come out for? Has he come out for a pay per view on the main roster in the makeup? He hasn't, right?
I feel like he has, but I have no idea.
He came out on Raw, like on a throwaway Raw in it, and it was stupid. But I can't remember a pay-per-view that he did it. Either way, Finn's probably winning this, but I would be an asshole if I didn't pick Corbin. So, picking Corbin.
And Steve.
Yeah, Finn's winning this, and they're going to end that feud. I like Corbin, but there's no way he's going to win this match. Even though Finn was a kind of a dick, was it 2 weeks ago on Raw, during Corbin's match, he came out, made him go back in the ring, and after the matches are over, he kicks him. I mean, he's not a face. But yeah, he's gonna win, he's going to do the stupid coup de grace or whatever, and Corbin's going to lose and go back to, maybe he'll call Stephanie again and have it overturned, I don't know, to continue the feud for another 3 months.
I think that's what Corbin should do after every loss. Just call up Steph and be like, hey, can we get this reversed? Like, that's a good heel tactic. I don't know. I'd be fine if we got a stable out of this of, like, off Stephanie's henchmen, even. I'm fine with that, you know. Something interesting. We haven't had a stable in forever.
We have one at NXT.
Steve, no, okay? Just no. Insanity doesn't count either.
Oh, that's true. There is Insanity on there, too. Yeah.
By the way, I already wrote this at like 4 a.m. this morning, but the fuck was Killian Dane wearing? Like, that singlet.
He was a world-class amateur wrestler. You know that?
Yeah, so is half the fucking roster, according to Michael Cole, okay? But, fuck, man. Killian Dane, I was like, did John Tenta come back from death here? Like, I was confused.
Oh my god, are they gonna make him his like, son?
Yeah.
Like the giant was big. Was giant was Andre's son for a bit.
Yeah, Killian Dane's gonna be Earthquake's son. Because why not? I mean, strange things have happened, right?
Can he wear a mask like he was when he was in the Oddities?
Kane had horrible makeup when he removed the mask for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden got like a haircut and.
And now he's mayor of Tennessee, so I'm not going to one town or whatever. But
yeah, good for Kane. Bad for Killian.
Speaking of tag teams, let's start off with the Raw Tag Team Championship. We have the B Team versus the Revival. Revival, Kent.
You know, now that we're discussing this, all of a sudden it's like starting to slowly paint. I'm starting to see the full picture. This is going to be a huge night of disappointments for Kent. I don't think the B Team. I don't know if they're ready to lose yet. This feels like one of those matches where the internet says, well, it's definitely the Revival's time, and this definitely feels like a time when WWE's like, yeah, but we just gave the B-Team this terrible new music that's very Spirit Squad-ish, and we got rid of Battle Scars for no reason. So I'm picking the B-Team, and I hate life right now.
So basically you're saying that WWE is saying, fuck the Revival.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me very sad right now, because there's not a better tag team. There isn't. There's not a better tag team out there. I haven't seen a better tag team in the past 2-3 years, easily, than the Revival, as far as pure in-ring talent. And Dawson is getting better on the mic, surprisingly. I never thought he was going to get better on the mic. I thought they would need a manager, but he's proven to be a 3 out of 10. He could possibly get up to a 4 out of 10. Serviceable. But yeah, fuck the Revival.
What do you think, Steve?
I would have said there's no way Revival's going to lose this, but after Ken's convincing arguments, I don't know. I may have to go B-team. But I don't know. Revival needs a belt or something. I know there's no tag teams really anymore in Raw, so it doesn't really matter who's a champion, but I think they deserve the belt and deserve something just for being a good tag team. So I'm going to stick with them as winning.
But Steve, I will ask you this. Do you not find the Raw Tag Team division as a whole better booked than the SmackDown Tag Team division?
No. Maybe it's even, because it's just been Hardy and Wyatt losing to the B-team for the last month.
Yeah, but since WrestleMania, since the superstar shakeup, which, god damn it, that's a terrible thing to say. I feel that Raw Tag Team division has generally been better booked, because all they've done is just have Bludgeon Brothers win and New Day get like 17 different opportunities, despite losing every time very, very, very convincingly. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think the New Day with 3 members can use Freebird mat rules to win a match here and there against the Bludgeon Brothers, right?
You would also think that Sanity would pick up a win every once in a while, but things don't always happen.
And the Bar would do something.
Yeah, I think Sheamus needs to start working out Triple H again. By the way, where the fuck was the Bar? Like, they don't even follow that up. Are they going to go missing again for the next 3 months? Is that going to be a thing?
Did he lose a smile?
Ooh. Ooh. I think Ginger Rhinos need to get traded to SmackDown. That would give that division the shot in the arm it needs.
They are the first ever SmackDown Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, and first ever champions do really well on SmackDown, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Yeah, but speaking of SmackDown, let's talk about their tag team championship match. We have the Bludgeon Brothers versus New Day. I have to admit, the Bludgeon Brothers title reign has been kind of lackluster. What do you guys think? Steve, let's start with you.
Yeah, it hasn't done anything. Like, they're misusing Harper, but they always have. So that's not a big deal. That's just old news. New Day, I'm sick of New Day. I'm sick of the pancakes and all that shit. They need new teams in the title hunt. They need to get the Bar, the tag team belts, and do something else with someone other than the same teams. But I don't care who wins this match. I have no interest in it. I've seen it too many times.
What are your thoughts, Kent?
Well, Luke Harper has consistently been my favorite wrestler for the past 4 years now, and it's been a disappointing ride, let me tell you. Even when he has the gold, it just doesn't feel like anything's happening. The biggest problem with the Bludgeon Brothers title run is that WWE just will not pull the trigger and just give them a Brock run. Let them be violent. Let them, even if it's just for a feud, put them on the map as a team that is willing to be ultra-violent in the WWE's PG era. It's not that hard to be ultra-violent in this era. They just need a really good beatdown. Like, they tried when they beat down Usos and New Day, but it wasn't violent enough, and they didn't make a big enough deal following up on commentary or anything. They just, it didn't get followed up on. So nobody really, yeah, we know Bludgeon Brothers are badass, but they could be so much more. And that's where WWE's really dropped the ball. Not only that, they have a tag division where Sandy is treated like a joke. The Bar has gone missing. The Usos, which I thought was like supposed to be the greatest tag team ever, I don't even know where the fuck they is. So, yeah, along comes New Day, and I don't know. This feels, there needs to be a tag team shakeup after SummerSlam. Like, that, if any one division deserves a shakeup, it would be both shows' tag team division, honestly. Get fresh matchups in the worst way. Give me the Leaders of World versus Bludgeon Brothers. I'd be entertained by that. But this isn't... I honestly could see New Day winning. Even though they've gotten beat down definitively. I could see them doing it. I hope not. But really, who's going to beat the Bludgeon Brothers right now? And then... Alright, so if Bludgeon Brothers win, they beat everybody except for the Bar. So you're going to have the Bar win, even though they just lost New Day? There's all these weird logical paradoxes going on. That's why you need the shakeup. Because that division is five freaking teams. And there's nobody on NXT to call up. Who are you going to call up? TM61? They're going to beat the Bludgeon Brothers? No! I mean, shit, Bludgeon Brothers could beat all of Undisputed Era without a freaking problem. So, there's really no talent to be had there. Gable's gone, so you can't even reform Gable and Benjamin. I don't know. There's really just nothing on the horizon. There needs to be a change, and I don't know how they change it properly. Other than with lots of violence.
Works for me. Alright, next matchup, we have the Money in the Bank briefcase match with Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. I don't foresee them taking the briefcase off of Braun, so I think Braun keeps the briefcase. What do you think, Kent?
I really don't care. I liked this feud, and then they had the cage match, and they haven't really done anything. They were doing stuff, now they're not doing stuff, and now they've lost my interest. I don't care. I think it's inevitable that whoever holds the briefcase will eventually be champion. I would like to say, hey, it's going to be Braun, and he's going to be the one that beats Lesnar, because why not? Fuck Roman. But, I don't know. Would anybody really be terribly upset if Kevin Owens got the briefcase and got his win back after having to fucking job to Goldberg in like 20 seconds? Would anybody really be that upset that KO finally got that big monumental win? Because he really hasn't had that big monumental win since being on the main roster. Would anybody be that disappointed? Because it's not like Braun can't be built to have a monumental win within like 2 days. KO kind of could use something. KO as champion would actually be very good for business. A good heel champ is always better for business than a face. I don't know. For all the reasons that I've explained logically why Kevin Owens is the way to go, definitely picking Braun Strowman.
I don't know, you kind of got me sold on KO now.
Yeah, I can sell you on anything, but this is SummerSlam. They do what is absolutely worse for business every single time.
Well, they think it's good for business. We don't, but they do.
Yeah, they're the ones that make millions upon millions, so they're probably right.
I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
I'm kind of upset I only have 2 shares of the stock right now. it could go either way. Obviously, Owens being the cowardly heel coming out at the main event would be more WWE style. But I'm going to stick with Braun just because he could be built up easily to win. But then he could like the Big Show where, you know, you forget about him for like a year and a half. Then you're like, oh, I need a monster just to lose to probably Roman Reigns again. And he ends up winning no belts. I think you got to give him the belt now while he's still hot. And He deserves it.
Okay. Next matchup, we have the United States Championship match. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy. I only have one question about this match before I give you my pick, guys. And that is, we had all this build-up with Randy Orton. Randy Orton calling out Jeff Hardy. Randy Orton talking crap about Jeff Hardy. But there's no Randy Orton anywhere near this match. It makes no sense. I foresee Nakamura retaining, but I still have questions on where Orton is. Steve, help me out here.
I don't know what's going on with that either. I think maybe this is just off the top of my head. That interview with the writer that resurfaced from like years ago where he said Orton touched his dick or showed his dick to their people, new people. So maybe that affected Orton's push. I don't know.
Was Orton touching his dick behind the curtain on SmackDown?
He might have been.
That's the hope.
Yeah, it seems weird to have Shinsuke involved now that Orton it was all Orton the last couple weeks. I'm going to say Shinsuke wins, and then Jeff Hardy goes with Matt away forever.
Are they going to fade away and become obsolete?
No, he was hoping. Although, if rumors have it, Hardy is leaving Matt. So, let's hope Jeff goes with him.
What are your thoughts, Kent?
My thoughts are I don't even read rumors anymore. It's kind of nice. Yeah, once again, this is another match where Aiden English would have been a fine guest referee. I don't know. Something here. I mean,
can they just have him sing the theme songs to every wrestler coming out?
Oh my god. Him singing Shinsuke's theme song would be the greatest thing they could do right now.
He'd be new Jim Johnson.
Oh, god damn it, that'd be great. This is by far my favorite feud. Heading into SummerSlam, the feud of which Jeff Hardy comes out, Jeff Hardy gets his ass kicked. Rinse, repeat. My God, this is feud of the year for me. It's going to be tough to top. Maybe Jeff gets a little bit of offense. We don't know. We don't care. He's not winning the belt. So, why would he... Jeff is the one that should be leaving the company. I don't understand how he gets the DUI or DWI, whatever, and is in championship match, like, what, 6 months later? Like, what the fuck, man? They're sending really good messages. Meanwhile, Ty Dillinger and R-Truth are in the back. By the way, R-Truth versus Shinsuke a couple weeks ago was a surprisingly decent match. It really kind of caught me off guard. So, yeah, go with Shinsuke. He hasn't said enough funny things in English in a while, so can we go back to that?
I would enjoy that. I also think that R-Truth didn't get his title shot because he did not pin Carmella.
Which I'm very disappointed because I would have paid at least $10 for that video. Possibly if Xavier Woods was videotaping it, $20. But let's turn the page here. Let's get on.
Yes, let's move on. Actually, Kent, I think there's a segment we need to cover even though Russ isn't here.
Oh, God.
We got to talk about Rollins. Our listeners need to hear all the positive and glorious things that Rollins has done. Can you help us with that?
So I'll give you guys the Russ's Rollins rubdown of the week. Well, guys, this is gonna be the match of the night. No doubt about it. Seth Rollins fucking awesome. He wears three different types of pants. Really gets me off every time. Really excited. This past Monday, I saw Dean Ambrose. I was like, Triple H is shrunk. Nope, that's Dean Ambrose. And I got really excited. I lubed my fist up, and I was like, all right, fist of time, baby. Yeah. Seth Rollins for the win. And the worst part is Seth Rollins is probably going to win this fucking thing. I mean, I don't know. There's all kinds of speculation. I mean, is this really the time to turn Dean this quickly? I don't think you turn Dean. I don't think Dean and Seth need to be around the IC title. Because it seems like the red belt's finally going to be a defend on Raw. If you don't have the red belt consistently on Raw, Seth and Dean can do their own thing away from a title. Like, they can carry their own program. So, keep it on Dolph for right now. And let Dolph put on some good matches with other talent. I think Dolph retains. And I assume somebody gets fisted by the end of the night. Believe that.
Yeah, and for our listeners who didn't know, do not know what match we're talking about, we're talking about the Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins match with Drew McIntyre in Dolph Ziggler's corner and Dean Ambrose in Seth Rollins' corner. I have to say, Dean Ambrose has bulked up.
I think Brock Lesnar gave him his steroids he can't use anymore.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I was shocked when I saw him. But seriously, they need to turn him and capitalize on this look, because he looks like a heel. He looks like a heel that can kill you. That's a good thing.
I have a quick question. Did Renee say a goddamn word once Dean came out?
I have a feeling she didn't, but I have a feeling she was instructed not to. Because usually when something like that happens, a return, commentators, whether they know it or not, are supposed to act surprised. And in her case, it's her husband. Obviously, she's going to know he's there. They traveled there together.
We traveled together. What time he showed up?
I am so shocked. Like, I mean, he was in the airplane next to me, but I was just like, oh, you're coming to work with me today? Okay, that's great. Thanks for the moral
support. Yeah, the job. That's nice of you.
Oh, you're healed from injury and you got jacked? I hardly noticed. I was busy preparing for Raw to replace the great Jonathan Coachman. God, why isn't this like its own reality show? I would watch the hell out of that.
Steve, what are your thoughts on this match?
I think you don't need to turn Ambrose, but what you should do is turn Drew McIntyre and then just have him destroy Dolph Ziggler for like a month, because I would love to see that. But Dolph's going to win, probably, because his ridiculous hair is going to power him through the match or something. I don't know.
I love his hair, Steve. I love it. It is Jericho-esque of, like, 15 years ago.
Can't he do anything on his own? Like, his whole gimmick is Shawn Michaels, and now he's got Jericho's hair from WCW Nitro? I mean...
Yeah, he's the modern-day Eugene.
So he's slow and...
No, I've seen him move pretty fast, Steve. I don't know where you're getting at.
I just hate Dolph Ziggler.
Fair enough. How many buckle bombs will we have to frickin' endure? Like, am I the only person that, like, I hate to wish this on him, but at some point I kind of want Dolph to get, like, an injury and finally him be like, oh, maybe I should stop taking these bumps because nobody cares. Because really, people have stopped caring so long ago, and I like the storyline. I like Dolph. I actually do like Dolph. I'm a fan of Dolph. But the bumps he takes are so unnecessary.
Well, he also oversells everything. Like, if you sneeze on him, he'll flop and turn over and do, like, a 360 in the air.
Which, once again, we're missing out. Why don't we have Hulk Hogan versus Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam? I would pay some money
for that. It should be Shawn Michaels against Dolph Ziggler to see who can sell the, you know, oversell the most.
We would see so many flips. No fist, only fist. It'd be the, like, they could call it the anti-revival match. It'd be amazing.
But Dolph Ziggler's, one of his finishers needs to be effective. None of his finishers are effective.
They have
yeah,
not
yeah,
been
it
effective.
Is. His finisher is Drew McIntyre hits a guy with a kick, and then that's it.
Well, up until he matched up with Drew, I mean, none of his finishers were effective.
No. He's I don't know why he's there. I don't know why he's in the spot he's in, other than to get killed by McIntyre at some point.
What's a sadder state of affairs? That Drew doesn't have a match at SummerSlam, or that Lashley doesn't have a match at SummerSlam?
Why not both?
Wait, they don't have a match at SummerSlam between Elias and Lashley?
No, I thought that was the thing, and then I
thought for sure they would, the way Lashley's totally been a dick to Elias the whole time.
Well, you know, the rumors are that somebody's got to interfere during Elias's performance, and everybody wants it to be The Rock or Hogan. So prepared for it to be Bobby Lashley and to be disappointed because it is fucking SummerSlam. I can't wait.
Maybe they should just call it Summerfest. Maybe, what's-his-face had the right idea.
Was it Jeremy Piven that said that?
Yes. Yes, it was. That's who it was.
Why can't he just be the host of Summerfest every year?
Like, and why not have Mike Adamley be a commentator? Can be Adamley coach and, like, Brian Saxon. It's a commentary team.
No, no, absolutely not. Ugh. I will change the channel.
Can we get Booker T on commentary too so I can hear Ducky Quack Quack or some shit, whatever he says?
Oh, come on. I like Shucky Ducky Quack Quack.
I just like saying it. I like Booker on commentary a lot. I'm just saying, though, I mean, you need to have a lead announcer, so why wouldn't he be the best one? And then just let Saxton coach and Adam Lee. God damn it. Can we also get, like, the Russian dude, Jean, whatever? Like, we don't need to understand anything he's saying. He's just got really good energy every pay-per-view.
Just
give us
Funaki on the mic.
Can we just have Funaki and Booker T as just the commentary team? Like, WWE, you guys are missing out on such a big opportunity. Charge people an extra $2 for the alternate fee, broadcast fee.
Yes, you have optional broadcast fees. One of them is Funaki and Booker T.
Would you not pay it? You would.
I would. Yeah, I would pay that.
Yeah.
Every time they go through the international announcers, I'm just like, okay, where's Funaki? Funaki? Funaki!
And
really, that's the only person you're excited to see.
Well, I'm excited for his partner. I mean, his partner was the manager of Kai and Tai at one point, who wanted Val Venus's dick chopped
choppy
off.
Choppy, his pee-pee.
So, yeah.
But, I mean,
that was actually
his wife,
brought up
so
in a
he,
recent
he
episode of Being the Elite, because Taka Michinoku made an appearance on Being the Elite, and Juice Robinson was trying to ask him about that thing. He's like, nope, can't talk about it. Don't want to talk about it. Can't talk about it.
I wonder what Val Venus is doing right now. Hopefully Ken Shamrock's fake sister.
Alright, guys, let's move on and talk about Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. I enjoyed the recap of this feud, the videos, the three-part documentary this week. It was interesting, informative. I didn't know about the early years. Now I do. I don't know how this match is going to be, but the build's been nice. What do you think, Kat?
I thought the first part was really good. And then all of a sudden, the second part, I was like, all right, they're going to go through the, you know, brunt of their career. No, they just completely skipped over so much stuff. Like, I have any one feud, this feud, they could have done a 2-hour documentary thing, like WWE special. Why didn't they do it? They have so much footage over the years. Like, they glanced over all the times that Miz and Daniel Bryan have interacted throughout the years. I mean, that was a thing after NXT Season 1. Those two crossed paths a ton, and they always brought that up. So this felt like a really huge missed opportunity, in my opinion. I liked Part 1, but Part 2 was very underwhelming, and I don't even remember what the fuck was in Part 3. But whatever. For a feud that has this much history, I feel like it's still not even made a big enough deal. And in part, I blame Daniel Bryan. He has not been that good since he's returned. He's had to tone it down. I get it. But I'm not excited at all to see him. I wish they'd done something different with him, I guess. I don't know. I'm not that excited about a match that I really kind of wanted to be excited about. I'm going to go... I think Miz makes the most sense. So, in the spirit of things, definitely picking Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet. I'm kind of with you there. What about you, Steve?
It probably depends what Brian does with his contract that's coming up. I'd imagine what they want to do is save a lot of the build for the WrestleMania match at Once Champion. I don't know if that'll happen or not, but I want to say Miz is going to win because Brian might not re-sign. What I would love to happen is for them to eventually bond over being first-time fathers and become tag team champions.
What would their team name be?
Doesn't matter.
Kent, any thoughts?
My thoughts are that I watched 5 minutes of the most recent episode of Miz and Mrs. I won't watch any more of it, but it was on my TV. Like, I started, like, getting on my computer, and it was still on my TV, and I don't... Why is reality TV still a thing?
It's like, cheap.
It's the same tired bullshit. I mean, Miz is perfect for reality TV. He really is. He's perfect for
it. He started there. That's his thing. Yeah.
But I'm just so bored by these antics. Like, no, people, your life is not that fucking exciting. Like, no, just Miz comes out strapped up with a bunch of straps on, and I said strap on, huh? That's funny. And he has a camera, and then he had like the dildo thing hanging on his fucking head, and I was like, okay, we get it, and this was like the whole fucking episode, I think, and fuck, I hate reality TV. So, to answer your question, Carrie, fuck, I hate reality TV would be the name of the tag team.
I have a feeling Daniel Bryan does too.
I cannot imagine he likes reality TV at all.
But he's on two reality TV shows.
He has no choice. That's the thing. He's kind of stuck.
Bree probably is like, if you want some of this, you're going to have to be on TV. And then, you know, he agrees and he gets her meatloaf. Her vegetarian meatloaf, because he doesn't like meat.
Tofu? Tofu loaf?
Tofu loaf.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk women's championship matches and start with SmackDowns first. We have Carmella versus Becky Lynch versus Charlotte. Kent, what's happening on The Walking Dead?
A storm is coming. And, you know, I think...
Is it a winter storm? Or no?
It's a hurricane.
Oh, okay, wrong show. Never mind.
Yeah, there's no dragons yet. Give it time.
Zombie dragons?
Oh, well, Game of Thrones already stole that, did they not? I mean, they really did. I never thought about how fun it would be to watch walkers get blown around by 100-mile-per-hour wind. It is exceptionally fun. I had a good time. I like that they immediately teased Morgan's like, I'm going to head back to Alexandria and join up with the other show again. And everybody's just like, yeah, but you're officially the top billed guy on this cast. You're not going anywhere. And then it was just an hour of people just being pissed off and or drunk. I loved it. It was great. Wonderful. Can't wait for the rest of the season. Woo.
Is that your pick?
You know, they make me say that Carmella's winning, right? Because they say the other two are going to cancel each other out. But then who the fuck is she going to feud with? Naomi, who we haven't seen in a fucking millennium? No. So they got to put it on one of these two nitwits. We know it's not going to be the orange-haired nitwit because she's got to turn heel and be pissed off. So they're going to go with the tall blonde nitwit. And, yeah. I said this last week. Every time you don't think it makes logical sense for her to get the belt, she gets the fucking belt. So, that's happening.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there. What about you, Steve?
Has she tied her father's record yet for belt championship?
I think she's like two ahead at this point.
Is she? Okay. Yeah, she would again, just to further the lead. What about Asuka?
Nobody's better than her.
Apparently everybody is, because she's the one
more
seen.
Relevant than her right now. Except for Naomi.
Yeah, definitely because she's a flair, she's going to win. and then probably hold it until WrestleMania. Will Ronda Rousey will break your arm and win the belt, and everyone will ejaculate because Ronda Rousey is so awesome, and I'll kill myself.
Speaking of Ronda Rousey, let's talk about the Raw Women's Championship. And
so we're not
going to
speak about ejaculating. You're going to just avoid that part.
I'm avoiding it. I'm avoiding it and moving right into the next match because it's Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey.
Oh, like I'm not going to over that. It's Bliss.
I know. I have Ronda winning this only because they really need to capitalize on the name, and it'll set things up nicely for whenever Natalia returns. What do you think, Steve?
I cannot wait for that feud. That is going to be the best feud in the history of wrestling, Natalia and Ronda Rousey. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Ronda's going to win because she's in a movie out, and because it's Ronda Rousey. I have a feeling Alexa's going to pop her elbow out again, and everyone will be disgusted at the end. And that's going to be the end of it.
And Kent.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, why'd they make a sequel to 8 Mile and Eminem's not in it? I find this very weird.
It's like a third movie, right? Because it's 22. It's close to being three times 8 Mile. So
Yeah, it's like the... Yeah. I don't get it. Whatever. That's about how I feel about... There's not a single good women's match this whole fucking weekend. Not a single one that I give a flying fuck about. I'm just hoping Bliss's ass looks amazing. And much... I'll be doing the same thing Russ will be doing during the Rollins match.
You know, I'd rather see Ruby Riott in a pay-per-view.
Did you notice that? I feel that Ruby Riott really improved in ring once she got up on the main roster. One of the few talents
that
did.
Yeah, she was a huge improvement, yeah. Once she got away from SmackDown, really, because she was not the go-to Charlotte Flair.
What? How is that possible?
That SmackDown's at Raw. Whatever it was, her and Flair had awful matches.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure they blamed it on Ruby Riott because Charlotte Flair is awesome, but I'm pretty sure it's really Charlotte's fault.
I can't think of a single Charlotte match that's been good. I can't. Maybe they exist in NXT. They may have. But on the main roster, I can't think of any. Because all those Sasha matches were very overblown. God damn, that Hell in a Cell match was terrible. I know, we're not allowed to criticize women's matches in this time of history making and first time evers and shit, but that really was a bad one. I mean, Great Khali sat there and was like, God, this is really bad. So, Great Khali. It was nice to see him on that Miz and Daniel Bryan video. I miss Great Khali doing Great Khali things.
Yeah.
So the Evolution pay-per-view should be good.
Said nobody ever.
I'll be on a boat.
is that sold out yet?
It might be.
It better be, because that's not good if it's not.
All I know is we're officially paid off and ready to go. We're just waiting for for them to give us the information on the beverage packages.
I think you got to drink, like, is it 15 to make that worth it?
Eric's got it covered.
15 over how many days?
A day.
I think it's 5.
Okay, I mean, 15 a day just seems perfectly reasonable in my opinion.
I mean, they ever tried to begin with on those things. And then they want you to buy a souvenir cup, and it's like $25 for a drink. It's insane.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yep.
Maybe I'll just buy the water.
No, you still drink. Especially around all those independent wrestling fans. You need to be drunk for that.
That's my thought, is that those people are going to be so obnoxious.
That's why I'm not going to WrestleMania at Giant Stadium. Because I don't want to deal with the fans. Right. I just couldn't do it for the whole weekend.
People ruin everything. Carrie, don't be one of those people. Rise above hate.
I will try. I already know that they're going to be obnoxious on this thing.
you should just go and wear a John Cena shirt and just see how many people you can piss off.
What you should do is be like, I'm just here to see the band King, and that's it. That's why I'm on this cruise, because they're awesome. And Fozzy.
You should wear a Cena shirt, Roman, and Eric should wear a Roman shirt, and just see how much hate and vitriol you can generate.
That could be a lot of fun.
Also, get business cards and pass them out and advertise for this podcast so we can get lots of people that hate us. The Howard Stern effect.
You know what would be interesting? See if they side with Colt Cabana or CM Punk.
I'm assuming Colt.
Oh, yeah.
No, CM Punk's a god of those neckbeards.
Punk's a god to me, Steve. You know,
I don't know. Punk got, like, booed at a local indie show up in Chicago.
Because he's a jackass who can't fight and takes his ball and goes home when he doesn't get his way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a big douche. I really need to get rid of the CM Punk bleacher creature thingy I have in my cubicle at work. I need to get rid of that.
I'll take it.
Okay, I believe
in CM Punk. I do. Because he's the most relatable wrestler there ever has been for me. Truly.
More relatable than King Kong Bundy?
Steve, I can relate to a guy that just hates everybody and treats people like shit, believe it or not.
Okay? That's tough to believe. I don't know. Your outlook on life is just so different than CM Punk's. I don't know.
I mean, instead you chose some fat, bald, pasty white guy. I don't see any relevance to that comparison whatsoever. I've never asked for a five count, Steve. Never.
That's what Big E does anyways.
Alright, guys, let's move on. Let's talk Universal Championship match. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. Brock retains. Steve?
I don't care who wins because it's going to suck for me either way. Hopefully, Braun Strowman keeps the briefcase, and then he cashes in after the match or during the match. One, because he hates Brock Lesnar, and two, because he's not finished with Roman Reigns. So hopefully it ends with Strowman being champion.
Do you think he'll get as big a pop as Seth Rollins did?
Yes. If he wins, he'll be having the biggest pop in a while. Just because you get it off of Brock, which everyone hates now because it's Brock Lesnar. And then you get off of Roman Reigns, too. So, yeah, he's going to be a big pop.
Would it be a bigger pop for Braun? What gets him the bigger pop? Him beating Brock or him beating Roman?
Brock.
You think so?
Yeah.
I say he pins both of them at the same time.
Oh, God.
I mean, Brock lost, like, 50 pounds of muscle in, like, a week.
Yeah, he looks good.
Because of the drug tests coming up for him. So, yeah.
He's going to get his ass kicked in UFC.
Turn around in probably 2 seconds and have a heart attack any moment.
He's going to turn purple. I look forward to this match. I don't care. I kind of like, if it weren't the two guys and all the things we hate about them, if you just focused on their matches, actually I kind of like their old school big dudes beating the shit out of each other style of matches. I don't hate those their matches. It's just that it belongs to these two individuals that you can hate for a multitude of reasons. But match quality-wise, it's not that bad. There's no reason to have Roman win. There is zero reason. I don't care what the logic is. There's no point. Like, this isn't Tommy Dreamer versus Raven. This isn't. You know, Brock has Roman's number. Every single great should have a person that's their kryptonite. That should exist. So it's okay. Like, it is completely okay for Roman to lose. He's not going to gain any fans. He's not going to lose any fans. He's going to tread water in this murky, murky place. Brock winning gets the biggest reaction.
And Braun beating him immediately afterwards, even better.
Right.
Because he made me hate Paul Heyman, and that's, like, impossible. So if he deserves to die for that.
I still really want it to be Owens, but either way, whoever cashes in, and let's face it, we all predict the cash-in will happen Sunday. It should be a joyous occasion. If Brock Lesnar then still beats whoever tries to cash it in, it may be the single greatest moment of the year in wrestling. Because the fans will absolutely lose their fucking collective shit. Which, think about it, that would be kind of funny to watch everybody get pissed off. Like, it was suck as fans, but to see everybody be so pain, so much pain in that whole crowd if Brock were to beat Roman and then Braun.
I think if it doesn't go on last, that might happen.
It's going to go on last. Is there really any way that doesn't go on last?
I mean, match quality-wise, Styles, Samoa Joe should be amazing. But no, I don't think there is.
Right. Well, since you mentioned it, let's jump right into AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. I hate the build-up for this match. I hate it. It was pointless. These two guys are very talented, lots of history. Playing the family card was just sloppy, sloppy writing. With that said, we really need to see Samoa Joe with a title soon. AJ's held it long enough. I mean, he's held it the longest anybody has ever on SmackDown, so it's time. What do you think, Kent?
It feels like the time, but I don't know. I have a sneaking suspicion that Miz is going to get that belt by the end of the year. So I don't know how you connect those dots between now and then. Like, it's kind of a complicated thing. Either Joe gets the belt and then loses it, maybe like in a multi-man match or something. But I still think Miz has the belt by the end of the year, or else. And if we're going to do Miz and Daniel for WrestleMania, it should be for the belt, and Miz should be the one walking in with the belt. That makes the most sense. So, I don't know. Joe's pretty well adept at, you know, not winning a single feud or anything on the main roster. So, what's so different about this? I mean, I'm a huge Joe fan. I'm a huge AJ fan. Like, I don't dislike either guy. This should be match of the night. As a matter of fact, this could be match of the weekend, quite frankly, if they let them do what they can do. Story-wise, it's been shit. I don't think we're getting the title change that everybody's imagining. This seems like another SummerSlam trap. I think they're keeping the belt on AJ because they're going to go against what people are sick of AJ's champ. Let's face it. AJ hasn't been in a good feud since, I don't know. Really, when the fuck was the last time AJ was in a good feud? It what?
Cena.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's your answer, and that makes everybody here collectively sad. It's time to move on, but they're not going to move on. AJ's retaining.
What do you think, Steve?
Do you think they'll prolong this since they just introduced the whole family thing, like, yesterday? And either have a match for one of Styles' kids, or have the kid turn on Styles like Sandman's kid did?
I love that angle so much. I can't remember her name, Steve. Do you remember in TNA when they brought in that lady that like slept with AJ Styles?
Yes.
Claire Lynch.
Yes, Claire Lynch. Exactly.
Carrie, that's a little troubling that you just have, like, you popped that name out really fast. That's troubling, and congratulations. Can we bring her back? Like, bring Claire Lynch back. Why not? Everything that she touched turned to gold in hindsight.
I just want to hear her say, "It's your baby, AJ." Just one more time.
Yeah, please. Like, please bring her into this. That saves this feud.
And bring in Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, because they were involved with that whole storyline too.
And this new tag team.
Yes.
Holy shit, Gallows and Anderson are still employed.
They shouldn't be, though.
What the fuck? I forgot all about them. They're still on SmackDown. There is six teams. Huh. I've been racking my brain for about 2 weeks because I kept thinking, there's a sixth team, but I can't think of who it is. That's great and sad. And they also had a tag team title match at a few pay-per-views ago. Wow. Good shit, WWE. Good shit. I mean, let's, yo, what's sadder? That Rusev went from main eventing, whatever the last pay-per-view was, Extreme Rules, was it? Or that Bobby Lashley beat Roman Reigns on that very same pay-per-view and doesn't even have a match? What's really worse here?
I have a feeling they might add that match at some point. Maybe Saturday night after the Elias concert, or Friday night, whatever it is.
They could. I don't know. Lashley versus Elias doesn't work for me in any way. And it's all because of the Rock and Robin thing. It should have never happened. It's one of those really, really bad segments that's going to get darker as years go by. You're going to sit back and be like, that was fucking terrible. Really bad. Bad stuff.
Like, most of Bobby Dashi stuff. And in Deborah.
While we're talking about stuff that may or may not be bad, let's jump right into our segment, Were You Not Kentertained? And talk about whether or not we were kentertained by the Authors of Pain and Mojo Rawley versus Bobby Roode and Titus Worldwide match. Honest with you guys, I barely watched Raw this week. I didn't even know this was a thing, so I have no opinion. Steve?
I enjoyed how they started out the match with, like, no introductions. They're all in the ring. And they have a shot of the announce booth. And you can see in the background, the match starts. And, like, a minute later, they go to the match. And Michael Cole is like, we now join this in the middle of the match. And sadly, it was the middle of the match. Even though it was a minute into the match. Other than that, yeah, I don't remember who won it.
Bobby Roode won it. Now, I love how they spent weeks building up Mojo Rawley to a point where I was like, good, they're building a mid-card heel. That's kind of refreshing. And now this. I even kind of like the singles matches they had with, AOP and Titus Worldwide. I was kind of enjoying those. They weren't great matches, but they were good matches. They were telling little stories. And then we had that match. Thoroughly.
Didn't that match have, like, one, maybe two commercials? That you had little screen in the bottom of the match and then the giant commercial for the SummerSlam?
Yeah, I love this new marketing. Guys, we got to interrupt this match that's really happening to show you a pre-recorded segment for a match that we will talk ad nauseum about later in the night. Cool. Like, we're too busy. We can't carve out this 30 seconds of time, so we got to interrupt the middle of this match and kill the flow of it, just so we can advertise.
Well, you don't want to lose a Popeyes ad, so you can't put it there.
I don't want to lose a Popeyes ad. You're right, Steve. They have the best biscuits. So, here's something before we finish our SummerSlam talk. So Sasha, Bailey, months of work. This is the pay-per-view. This is the why aren't we talking about Sasha versus Bailey here? Like that was the thing, right? Like we've been working on this since last fall. Like this was supposed to be the culmination of this. Everybody said, "Oh, we're going to have Sasha versus Bailey because the last year in Brooklyn for SummerSlam, we're definitely going to do this." And they started last fall. They started that. They planted the seeds. And here we are. They don't even have a match on the card.
They must have pushed it back for that Wild Woman's pay-per-view.
Yep, are they ever going to feud? Or are they going to go with the Four Horsewomen bullshit? Like, are they going to completely throw away the best women's feud that they can produce right now? That's not, Little Nate and... the rowdy one.
They can start that up again, though, I guess, later at some point.
Yeah, after Sasha blows it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty disgusted, quite frankly. I was actually really looking forward to Sasha versus Bailey at at SummerSlam. I really was. I was very excited. And now they did the Dr. Shelby thing, and that was the kiss of fucking death.
Yeah, that whole Dr. Shelby thing just ruined it. Yeah, it was great to see him back for the nostalgia factor, but really with that feud, it was not neat. I agree. It wasn't needed.
Do you think King can appoint him to some position in Knoxville?
Like the Surgeon General?
Something, yeah. Knoxville. Like, yeah. I don't know. Just give him a job.
I'm sold.
I also can't wait to see Knoxville on May 19th, see what happens then.
Oh, God, that town will definitely see no evil. God, that's an underrated film. It really is. WWE really kind of missed out. I always thought they should have done a horror movie with the Wyatt family. Bray clearly is charismatic enough to carry a huge lead role. Harper clearly wants to do acting, as he's done Damnation, and then he did Mohawk, which Mohawk is now on Netflix. So if anybody wants to see Luke Harper in a very mediocre movie where he shines well, try to avoid the first 10 minutes of dialogue because it's really poorly written. But beyond that, you might like the movie, or just drink heavily and you might like the movie. It's on Netflix. Yeah. But seriously, why wasn't there like a Wyatt family movie? They could have easily done that. It wouldn't have cost that much. Bray was injured half the fucking time anyway, so just fucking make the film.
They couldn't find a good cast for a Sister Abigail, so they had to scrap it.
They had Bray Wyatt, Steve. I just said that.
Could Bo have played her?
Bo looks like their sister anyways. She is a handsome lady.
Alright, guys. So I think that closes out our discussion of this weekend's pay-per-views. We got NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 and SummerSlam. Given all that we have going on this weekend, what are you guys looking forward to next week? Yes, listeners, it's time for our segment I'm Not Finished With You Yet, where we discuss, well, as I said, what we're looking forward to next week. I'm, out of everything, I want to see how decent TakeOver is going to be. Usually the show's pretty decent, and usually it's better than the main roster show. What do you think, Steve?
I'm looking forward to the 2 hours that I will have that's not wrestling-related over the weekend, where I can play video games.
Kent?
I'm looking forward to the idea that we may have somebody active on the roster holding the red belt come Monday. We haven't seen that in a really long time. A really long time. And I'm kind of hoping it comes full circle, because the last time we saw somebody doing that, it was Kevin Owens. Then he lost to Goldberg. And then Brock. So, maybe full circle? That's my... Yeah. Better than Full Sail University.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely. All right, listeners, there I have it. Our thoughts on this weekend's events, what we're looking forward to next week, and now it's time to close everything out and play our favorite game. Yes, listeners, it's time for Guess the Wrestler. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler, and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. And this week, it's Kent's turn. And Kent, do you have your wrestler?
Yeah, I'm definitely not actively looking him up right this moment.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. You've been ready for this all day. So what are your two give me answers? Give me.
Damn it, Kerry Russell's gone all of a sudden.
I'm so glad Russ isn't here to give me crap.
Okay. Alright, so he is a male, and I'm gonna say that he is retired.
What promotion do we know him most for?
WCW.
I What is the highest title he held?
Good question. I don't know. You would agree that a singles title is almost always more valuable than a tag team title, right?
Yes, I would.
I think that's the rule of thumb. All right, WCW TV champion.
Hair color?
Black.
Was he popular around the Monday Night Wars era?
Define popular.
I guess, did he wrestle then?
Yes, he was an active competitor during that.
So he was probably in the bureau.
Steve, aside from DDP and...
That's it.
Aside from DDP and Chris Benoit, I think everyone else was NWO for life.
I'm so not familiar with WCW, so I don't even know what questions to ask. Living or dead?
Living. And quite entertaining.
I don't know. TV champion, you said?
Yeah, great championship.
Did he dance? In all fairness,
I did kind of allude to the fact that he was a tag team champion as well.
Right.
I kind of gave you two for one there. Did he dance? Was that the question?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a few dancers in WCW, so...
So, was this person a member of Three Count?
or Alex Wright? Or Disco Inferno? Or LaParker?
Did Alex Wright ever have black hair when he was like...
No, he did not.
Okay. No, this person was not known for his dancing.
I don't think Disco Inferno was a tag team champion anyways.
Wasn't he also like a U.S. champion at one point? Or was it
Was he not TV champion? I don't know.
I think he was TV. I'm just saying if he... I thought he was US.
Maybe, yeah. Who knows? He had so many belts. I don't know.
During the Russo era, it seems fair that he might have... And it's not
was
David
this person, was this person ever with WWE?
Ooh. Let me check on that. I don't think so. No.
How many questions was that? Like six, seven?
That was the seventh one, so you each got one more.
Nope, I don't want to ask that question because I don't think he was a tag team champion. This is a throwaway, but did his mom call JR to say he was sick?
What was that a reference to, Steve?
Buff Bagwell.
Buff Bagwell. Did Buff have black hair?
Did he?
I don't think so. I thought he just had brown hair.
Oh, was it brownish? I don't know. I guess not Buff then. Okay, that was a wasted question.
American males.
And Vicious and Delicious.
Was that with him and Norton?
Yeah.
Nice.
I really don't know what to ask. I have no idea who this person is. Nationality?
Nationality would be...
Ethnicity...
Well, do you want nationality or do you want ethnicity? Those are two separate things.
Ethnicity.
That was the better question. I want you to close your eyes. Imagine
that he's black.
Time to Kill reference for anybody that didn't quite, you know, pay attention to cool movies starring Kevin Spacey and Kiefer Sutherland and Oliver Platt and Donald Sutherland and really hot Sandra Bullock. Like, that was peak Sandra Bullock attractiveness. And McConaughey and Angry Samuel.
Oh my god, Samuel Jackson played an angry character?
Yes!
No!
And they deserve to die, according to him.
Alright, I'm out. I have no idea who this is.
So he's black.
I mean, that eliminated pretty much
everybody.
Yeah.
TV champion, also tag team champion. Oh, crap. I'm trying to think. All I can think of is Norman Smiley.
Oh, that would have been awesome. I would have never thought of Norman. It is not him. Carrie, I'll offer up one other hint. In at least one of his championship runs, his tag team partner was somebody we've mentioned in this podcast. And that is how I came to decide upon this person.
Oh, I think I know who it is, but I can't think of the name now. I still don't know. I really still don't know. I can see it, I just don't know the name.
Who was his tag team partner?
Booker?
Stevie Ray.
It was Stevie Ray, yes.
Which I forgot he was a TV champion.
Yeah, I totally didn't realize he was a TV champ. But he was, I think, a 10-time
multiple-time tag team, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, 10 times, all with Booker T. 10 fucking time. That's insane. There's a lot of his interview snippets on YouTube, because he does like a podcast, radio show, something like that. He is really freaking entertaining as hell, so highly recommend just looking for stuff on YouTube. Like, he talks, you know, tells a lot of the stories from back in the day, and yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. He's a pretty funny guy, and it's kind of a shame that he never did make it to WWE. The only thing that he did make it to was on one of the video games. But I did not consider that counting as him making it to WWE.
Yeah, it's probably a good call.
And of course, he was part of the infamous "We're coming for you" N-word segment with Hulk Hogan. Who was it? Mean Gene, Sherry, Harlem Heat?
Harlem Heat and Hogan, yeah.
Oh, God. That was one of the funniest. The instant regret on Booker's face that, am I going to be fired? Look. Ah. That's a video clip I've watched a ton.
More or less than Steiner meth.
I don't know, but I feel that I at one point downloaded the MP3 audio clip just so I could have that on my playlist.
Smicky eating tone.
Yep.
Wow. Well, there you have it, listeners. Another week has come to a close. Kent, any announcements for our listeners?
Let's see. This past week, I did actually finally get the Orange is the New Black 2-part series of blogs, whatever. Yeah. There was 2 of them. I got that up, and well, we'll have NXT preview, review, SummerSlam preview, review. Fuck, that's a lot of work. Plus, we're actually watching the nonsense. Boo! Boo to this weekend already. I guess that's my announcement. Possibly another announcement next week if I can work some things out. I'm hoping to do a Wentworth retrospective blog as well as possibly a Sons of Anarchy retrospective as we gear towards the new Mayans series on September 4th. I'm very excited about that, because I loved Sons of Anarchy.
Cool. That all sounds good. Listeners, make sure you check all that out at our website, 9news.com. You can find those blogs, our wrestling blogs, our podcast is there. And if you're listening to our podcast on iTunes, feel free to...
Holy shit, you're on iTunes now? Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Make sure you click on that subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. And with that, Well, I think it's time to say goodnight, guys. So for Steve, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Wow, we're done before 9:30.
About 2 hours. Got in there.